This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
It's your show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
The most diverse sound for the most diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
Bang.
They do tend to go on a bit.
We'll refresh in the new year. My name is Andrew the Prentice. Arvi Miller's over there.
Hello.
And our next guest.
I wish I had stereo controls, because then I could be stereo left and you could be stereo right and we could really freak people out.
Oh, okay. But we don't.
But you're lucky people. I do not have stereo controls. I'm on the light up button panel in front of me. So we'll come out the middle.
Our next guest, according to the Australian Journal for Sexual Diversity, Archer, which was released last week, is Dr. Christopher Fox, a Melbourne-based psychosexual and relationship therapist and lecturer in sexual health counselling at the University of Sydney. We just know him as Chris Fox. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, gentlemen, and how are you both?
Very well, thank you.
What is psychosex and how can I have some?
Oh, no.
No, Abby. This is a serious show now.
Really?
You don't want psychosex? Psychosexual, it's just another term for sex therapy. It's one of the more official terms, and of course it just sounds better.
Wankier.
Well, yeah, that as well. I mean, officially, our accreditation in Australia is a psychosexual therapist through the Society of Australian Sexologists.
So,
because there's many terms we actually use.
Under the auspices of Norman and Mother Bates, I imagine.
Not quite. Well, not quite.
So my head goes when I hear the word psychosexual.
As the deputy chair, I don't like to be equated to Norman and Jocelyn, who's our national chairperson. Yeah, no, not Mother.
Okie doke.
She does a good mother act, though, at times.
At the Christmas party. Oh, see what I did there?
Yes, it's Christmas.
Right. Yeah, now, we have actually got you on to not talk about Christmas.
Oh, thank God.
Yes, we did the Christmas in the first little bit and we're ignoring it for the rest of the show.
It's not very Christmassy. And there's nothing for me to blow tonight.
No. Chris, you can't say things like that.
Why?
Because I could give you something to blow.
Arvi, nice.
I was being very nice. I'm sure I could find a party favour.
A party favour?
Anyway, I do have a lovely hat for you to wear.
Oh, thank you.
There you go.
It's absolutely gorgeous. I'm glad we don't have cans.
Now, we are going to talk tonight, though, about sex and gender roles.
But I don't want to talk tonight.
You want to argue then?
I feel a soapbox coming on.
Oh, yes. Now, I mean, one of the article that you're referenced in as one of the guests on in The Archer is around sex and gender roles to a degree.
Mm.
It's a topic that we've covered a lot in the last few months that Arvi and I have been doing the show together. And we know that we had the program about what is a good top.
Yes, we found lots of bottoms in Melbourne.
Yes.
So we discussed what makes a good top. We found no tops in Melbourne, so we couldn't talk about what makes a good bottom.
Interesting, I was talking to somebody this week who said, you know, Melbourne's just full of bottoms.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It is, actually. And I think he paid some attention to apps, and it's like, oh, my God, we have a lot of bottoms in Melbourne.
Yes.
We did decide that apparently Sydney's full of tops, Melbourne's full of bottoms, so
apparently.
we need to have a DNS ball at Albury Wodonga.
Sweetie, we don't want Sydney siders down here. Full of
no, we're not bringing them all the way to Melbourne. We're meeting them halfway at Albury Wodonga.
That's all right.
But for a cultural exchange.
I suppose one of the themes out of those discussions has been that there is, for some, a disconnect between how they present to the world and
what they like to do in bed.
What they like to do in bed. In that,
keep going,
you're looking at me, frowning away.
I told you Chris is going to roll his eyes at you.
God. people look at people and go, that's a bottom.
Mm-hmm.
People look at other people and go, that's a top.
Mm-hmm.
How does one, if that is the case, how does one impose on others their role if it doesn't match their physical persona?
Oh, Andrew, I really do hate it when you think about questions. Avi, over to you now. What would you like to ask me next, please?
Well, this is... I'll rephrase. Hang on. Because this came out of our desperate need to try and find tops in this town. And the one top that I did found self-identifies as a blouse, which is a feminine top.
Right.
Yeah, which I love the term. And then he was lamenting the fact that nobody considers him a top
because he's femme.
Because he's very femmy, and he goes, and apparently Melbourne's full of bottoms, but they never
approach
because they just think he's one of the bottom boys.
And so, I mean, what we're talking about really is, you know, our own prejudices and discrimination, acts of discrimination that we do in our own community. You know, if you're a top, we've got to behave, we've got to act and present in a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, really, that's what, you know, where we're talking about. Because he presents as femmy, how could he possibly be a top?
Mm.
And I'm having said that, I actually thought of somebody who, yeah, I'd actually say, you know, when I discovered they were a top, I was rather shocked that they were a top. And it was like, well, actually, I was even more shocked that they were in the leather scene because it was like, my God, I mean, I can mince, but you two put me to shame. But, yeah, so it's about the... I think it's about our own internal prejudice about, you know, well, if you're a top, you've got to act in a certain way, you've got to look a certain way, when in actual fact, you know, I don't think it's that clear cut for us.
But doesn't that also go to our preference? I'm desperately trying to use the right words without offending everyone. I know I'm going to offend someone. But, you know, those of us who are bottoms, we a lot prefer tops who are dominant or slightly dominant or take charge or, for want of a better word, quite masculine in appearance and demeanour.
Aren't you buying into a fantasy that you hold?
Possibly.
Your expectations... Oh, no, I don't mean a fantasy as in unlivable. They're definitely livable. But, yeah. You know, this is the creation, that this is what you want. And we particularly live in a culture where we don't have a predetermined set of roles. I mean, if you know, straight people, God love them, you know, wife, husband, you know,
there are sort mother, of father,
mother, well, father,
husband, wife,
you know,
kind of thing, yeah.
Those gender dichotomy roles that they exist, and along with those are a whole heap of unwritten rules that go with them. You know, when a man meets a woman who is quite dominant. You know, men often, I can say, men don't always cope. Heterosexual men don't always cope with a very strong-willed, dominant woman, particularly if she's dominant sexually.
And
we have a fluidity. Sorry, Andrew, we have a fluidity where we create these things all the time. And so, Avi, what I'm saying is that, you know, you've got this idea about what you want, but if you don't have, does that matter?
And I imagine it's by and large, self-perpetuating. The you know, we're as much products of magazines and imagery around, you know, if you think of the Tom of Finland kind of imagery or the Mapplethorpe style of imagery.
Yes,
I'm distracted, Chris, there slightly. But we're kind of... brainwashed into thinking this is what a top looks like and this is what a bottom looks like.
Yes. I'm not soapboxing, guys.
You're on Hard and Sick on Joy 94.9. Avi Miller, Andrew the Apprentice, and we are joined by Chris Fox, our sex therapist. We'll be back to continue this discussion right after this.
Hi, this is Dan Savage, and you're listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
You are on Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. I was distracted, so the boys did not know I was coming back.
That's all right.
You're with Avi Miller, that's me, and Andrew the Apprentice.
That's me.
And our sex therapist, our psychosexual therapist. You
can
realize...
Can you not put the emphasis on the psychosexual therapist?
Sorry. Would you prefer our psycho-sex therapist? Is that a better emphasis? I can do this any way you like it, Chris.
But I thought you were a bottom.
Oh, see, perceptions.
Well, you just said as a bottom.
No, I said
that well, before you did.
That's true. Everyone who knows me knows that I'm a massive bottom. Oh, anyway. But you were going to get on a soapbox.
Was I?
You were, apparently. What's wrong with being verse?
I don't think there's anything wrong with being verse. Yes, I was going to get on a soapbox. And the interesting thing, you know, talking with guys, you say you're verse. And they go, oh, but I'm looking for a top. Well,
I can do that.
Versatile. I can do top. You know, hello. And it's really, really interesting. I mean, people have these preconceived ideas, and I think, and with what you were just talking about, you know, the idea of not being a femi-top, but being a masculine top, and, you know, so if you're verse, it must be somewhere in between. And it's like, well...
And that's a bit of a habit of our community, in that we expect people to be in a box. We expect people to be gay or straight. We expect people to be tops or bottoms. We don't expect people to be versatile or bisexual.
Well, even worse than bisexual, we don't expect people to be fluid in their sexuality either. You know, the community really doesn't cope with anybody who identifies as fluid. I'm thinking of a friend of mine who, you know, she doesn't identify as lesbian. She doesn't identify as straight. She's having a relationship with a woman, and she's fluid in her sexuality. And people go, oh, so she's bisexual. It's like, no, she's simply fluid.
And I think...
Is it not a case of people just wanting to simplify? Do we label... For simplification or classification purposes, I need to know how to interact with you. Therefore, I'm going to put you into these boxes in my head.
Look, Avi, I think possibly yes, because as humans, we can basically make a choice from two or three things. If you gave people a whole list of things to choose from, it, you know, we have problems making a choice. I mean, think of going to a restaurant that has five to eight items. In a course, as opposed to 28 items in a course, you know, people become flustered at 28 items. So we don't cope with a lot of choice. It does make it easier, but of course, in making it easier, we also sometimes forget that we actually classify or we label in a derogatory way, you know, what's going on.
We also label ourselves, and in labeling others, we therefore are able to. Communicate to people on a certain level according to whether we're on the same page or we're on different pages or...
Yeah, and labelling has a purpose. I mean, labelling is both a good thing and a bad thing. I mean, talk to people who have mental illness. You know, being labelled as having a mental illness can be a godsend because suddenly there's an explanation. On the other hand, though, the label turns into a stigma that people have to carry around.
I was going to say something, but then I realised, no, I'm on air and I shouldn't. But it.
I dare you to.
Well, I have a very, very dear friend of mine who has Asperger's, who has a T-shirt that says, "You don't have Asperger's, you're just an asshole."
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's the kind of thing, he has had to work very, very, very hard to learn social cues to not be an asshole.
Yes.
That he takes that very seriously.
The other thing, people with Asperger's in their behaviour is quite different to somebody who's just being a genuine prick as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
But if we are doing this labelling in order to make our lives slightly easier, how difficult is it to change someone's label?
I think it can be extremely difficult to change someone's label because, of course, we get hooked into the label. And even we who have been labelled or labelled ourselves get hooked into a label. So, of course, we become tied to the label. You know, again, let's go back to tops and bottoms, you know. A bottom who wants to top, but he's known as a bottom. Well, how does he move? You're a bottom.
Yeah. And the other interesting thing where that comes into play is when you move into fetish, for example, or out of fetish. You know, if you had a vanilla background, for example, and you get old and you say, oh, this leather thing starts to appeal to me, or I quite like the idea of being peed on, or I want something very large inserted in me. And you now have to start negotiating into a scene that some people have been in for 10, 15, 20 years, and they look at you going, well, you're a tourist.
But you are a tourist until you commit and earn the creds on the floor. What's the phrase I want to hear, boys? You know, you've done your dance number on the floor. You've earned your dues. Thank you, somebody. Thank God. And when you've paid, you know, we are tourists. We are tourists. I mean, think within our own professions. You know, somebody new comes into our profession. You know, we're a bit wary of them until they've paid their dues and proven that they are genuine and
that leads to imposter syndrome, which is possibly why people don't change their labels that much. Because if I'm a bottom and I decide now tomorrow, tonight, this weekend, I'm topping exclusively. Mm. But of course, the community around me knows me as a bottom. Mm. And they expect me to pay my dues. It's like this. It's like your first job, catch-22. You can't get a job without experience, and you can't get experience without a job. How do you
move to Adelaide?
There are no tops or bottoms in Adelaide. I missed the point of my question halfway through that.
Move to Adelaide. How do you change? How do you negotiate if you don't have the experience? You know,
yeah.
How do you pay your dues? And I think it's about, you know. Oh, can you two make this hard? I hate the both of you. Dean, come back, sweetie. I think, yes, it's difficult, and I don't think there's an easy answer. It's about getting out there and doing. Although, again, you know, are you going to be trying to top in a community?
I would have thought that the solution would be to, as you said, move to Adelaide or change scenes,
change
the circle. Change things so that,
and it's odd that you say that because the one place that I've topped more than anywhere else in the world is in San Francisco. I don't know why. Something in that city brings out the top in me, like nothing else.
Really?
Yeah, it's uncanny.
Wow.
Anyway,
let's explore that. So, what happens when you go to San Francisco?
Let's explore that next year.
Yes, let's explore. Okay. But I think. This is kind of interesting because, of course, after 10 o'clock, we have the lovely Colin and Kyle coming on who are... We're talking to the boys about the girls. We're talking about the boys behind drag. And that also introduces, and we're going to be talking to Colin and Kyle about this as well, it introduces a whole different set of labels because I know quite a few drag queens who are tops.
Yes.
But their public persona... is sequins and feathers and big hair and lip syncing.
Yes.
You know.
Why can't they top, though?
Yes. You know that and I know that, but you're psychosexual and I'm just psycho.
Welcome to the show.
It's how do we not represent, but represent ourselves in a way that's going to be accepted by the labelers, if you like.
But we are also the labellers.
Yes.
And so it's about us challenging ourselves to move beyond the labels that we've always applied. I don't think it's a case of us and them. I mean, we've created the labels, we've created the persona, and therefore we need to be able to change the persona as well.
And change the conversation.
And have the conversation.
Have the conversation and
have
change
the conversation.
Language
and change the language a bit, yes.
Well, Chris, thank you. That is basically your in thought for the year.
Thank you.
You are done for the year.
You can relax off to now. Queensland and...
Yes, I'm going home to pack my bag. I fly out tomorrow morning.
Well,
Christmas with the family?
Christmas with the family. Fantastic. My mother has turned into a cantankerous old bitch, apparently.
Well, you've got something to look forward to.
I do.
Turn into one too when you're...
Oh, I will. Will. The minute I walk off the plane, I will prime myself to turn into my mother.
Thank you so much for joining us over the year, Chris. And,
that's right. Thank
you,
gentlemen.
We'll continue this conversation next year.
Okay, have fun.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au.
Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.